You will open your Bibles up to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And tonight, God willing, we will conclude our study of the tabernacle of David. I am so thankful that we've had a little stop and a little time to be encouraged of this brief moment of this precious tabernacle of David. And what it means to us, I believe it is truly an encouragement to us, a type and a shadow, a metaphor of the time we live in. This is the moment, this precious tabernacle of David, as we have rejoiced over these past few weeks, was just a tent, just a simple little tent, sitting on Mount Zion. And there in that tent, praise God, was the ark, the presence of God in between the cherubim. What glory, praise the Lord. And how beautiful that ark, it sat there. And it was completely open. There was no curtain in between. There were no vessels in between. There was nothing in between. It was open for all. What a precious encouragement to us. And all that remained was the praise and the singing and the worship and that intimacy, that intimate place, praise the Lord, that God foresaw. Yes, for those people at that time, especially David, he sure was excited about it. But thanks be to God for us even more, praise his name, that we do have that intimate opportunity with the Lord. And as we've rejoiced and continue to do so, we see these things because of Paul's gospel. Those things that were written, they were mysteries. They were not known. But now for us, we can know. Now, we left off last week. David and the elders, praise the Lord, they were going to finally do it God's way. Those Levite priests, they brought the glory of the ark into Jerusalem. And praise God, we have encouragement through this study that is seen through David when Christ will bring home his glory, praise his name. What glory is that? His bride. He's going to have his glory. And he's going to take her. And it's going to be soon, and it's going to be into his arms, and it's going to be into a place, praise God, that he has prepared. And oh, what a city, New Jerusalem, praise God, will be. Hallelujah. And so all the descriptions of glory we touched upon over the past 2 weeks, they get pretty detailed, don't they? These words, they mean such beautiful, encouraging things. As we read there in verse 1, as it says, and David made him houses in the city of David. He prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent. Now, we rejoice, brothers and sisters, because that place, praise the Lord, it means a standing place for human abode. Isn't that marvelous? See, he prepared a place, but why would it, you would say, well, it was just a place for an ark. No. Because there was a mystery that was written in there for us. By the grace of God, what the Lord is preparing for us is a standing place for human abode. And he pitched a tent. That word pitched, if you remember, it means coming down and descending. How marvelous. How beautiful. The glory of the bride that's seen in Revelation 21. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. And let me tell you something. She is standing in a place that was prepared for her for human abode. Isn't that gorgeous? Love that. But maybe the best of all, you jump on over there to 25. It said, and David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. That word joy, I don't think I'll ever forget that. That means loving pleasure for a banquet. This is for a purpose of an event that is going to be the event of the ages. And it's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And praise be to God, what a banquet it will be. And thank you, Jesus, that in your precious name, Lord, let us see the mystery that's here. So let's go ahead and read verses 25 through 29 and go on. So David and the elders of Israel and the captain over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and they offered 7 rams. Isn't that gorgeous too? 7 and 7 just speaks of this completion, this perfection. And notice, it's a double portion. Praise the Lord. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of song with the singers. David also had upon him the ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of a cornet, and with the sound of trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And I'll just say for a moment, back in the day when they would have that marriage feast and all of those things, those are the instruments that would play. That's all of that beautiful encouragement of all of that euphoria, because there was a wedding banquet that was ready to take place. Praise God. So as we begin here, the priests, the Levites, we see in verse 25, they're lifting up the ark. They're bringing the ark in. Well, we know in Scripture, as you can drift on over to Revelation chapter 4, get on over there, those Levite priests, praise God, they lift her up. They bring her in. Don't ever forget that. And I'll tell you this, the word Levite, do you know what means crowns? The word Levite means crowns. So let's think about them 24 elders that are round about her and how they all have crowns. In Revelation 4, praise God, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Do you see, praise the Lord, is God just give you a vision here of this type and shadow, the mystery that's within this? I was thankful again how God can witness to us in different things. Sometimes God will even bring a movie or something like that that'll give you some encouragement about something that he's done. They're running that show that I liked a lot called National Treasure. They're running it again. They had it just on. God always has good timing with things, you know. And if you recall, it was something they were trying to get to that Declaration of Independence, if you remember that. And they said, well, there's nothing about that. You know what's there? He says, oh, no. There's an encryption in it. And they said, it's on the back side. And they said, well, no, it's not there. They looked at it and they couldn't see it, no. But see, there was mysteries, things that were written that needed to be understood. And it went on how they could make it with heat and bring out on the back of it, and then it began to appear. And they could see these things. And it kind of went on and on. I love how it went to that one place where they were looking right into where they needed to look, but they couldn't see anything. But they had to have these special glasses. And I always thought about how the Lord, he has to give you special glasses, enlightened eyes of understanding. And he's got to give you the Apostle Paul goggles, or you're never going to see this. You might be able to recite stories, but you'll never see the glory of the mystery in these things. But if you just allow the Lord to woo your heart a little bit and get a little bit romantic like Jesus is for you, you'll begin to see these things. And I'll tell you, they'll move you. Because you know, praise God, the truth. But then he witnesses to your heart how deeply in love he is with you. So here we have this beautiful encouragement, the crowns, the royal ones, the Levites that bring her in. And here we have this picture in Revelation 4:4. There they are, the priests, sitting around her with their crowns. Praise God. Let's go on back here and let's read verse 27 together again. It says there, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of song, with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Now, this is such a beautiful picture here. It says David is in fine linen. Now, this word linen in the Old Testament means this was the finest linen that was only worn by a king. Now, just as only Christ Jesus has the lampros white, you remember that? Praise God, let him put all these things together for us, amen? He's the only one that wears that lampros white, except for one other. And that's his wife. That's the bride. All the other white is called a leukos white. L-U-E-K-O-S, I think it is. It's a wonderful, glorious brilliance, but it's not to the brilliance of the lampros. And we thank the Lord because he tells us, one star differeth from another in glory. There's a glory of the moon. And there's a glory of the sun. And we praise the Lord that God encourages us in these things. But this is the lampros white that he shares with his bride. And she wears that lampros glory with him. But isn't it interesting here? If you think about this with David. Not only does it say that he wore this linen. It says that he also wore an ephod. If you ever think about the ephod spoken of in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, that ephod is always spoken about being worn by a priest. But now wait a second here, we got a king. And this king, it speaks of very specifically that he's got an ephod. Well, I believe that our Jesus is priest and king. Isn't that gorgeous? See how just these little teeny things. And, you know, here he is. Praise God. And then notice the singers. You notice them there, the singers. Chenaniah, the master of song with the singers. David also upon him with that ephod. Go on over. Let's go on back to Revelation chapter 5. You kind of keep your finger there. We'll go back and forth a little bit tonight. But in Revelation chapter 4. Let's read about that singing that happened. So remember, what we're reading here in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation is John is taken up into heaven. The trumpet is just blasted. Praise be to God. The very first company he sees is those worthies of faith, the 24 elders with crowns on their heads, and they're seated around a throne. But then immediately he looks into that throne, and oh my, he sees in there the four living ones, the bridal company in the midst of the throne. They're right in the midst, not round about, they're in the midst. And then we read on how beautiful it is that the bridal ones, those four living ones, they say, we give you glory. We give it to you. We're bringing it of ourselves because we are your glory because of your grace. And then immediately after, there's the echo of the 24 elders as they're seated around the throne watching this. You're worthy to receive your glory. Isn't that exciting? They're round about that beautifully. So it goes on that they're having such a beautiful time in this moment right after the bride, praise God, is received into heaven. And let's go ahead and read from verse 8 of chapter 5. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. So, man, they've got instruments too. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. And we see this precious picture laid out for us. Now this, going back, you saw that chief singer, Chenaniah, the chief, the commander of song. Well, This is a beautiful thought here because his name means Jehovah has set up. So this master of song, this one that really leads everything, Jehovah has set up. Think of how high John had to be taken up on that mountain. And then he had to look up to see that bride descending from heaven. Do you think that the master of ceremonies, Jehovah has set up? He set her up. He has set her up so on high, praise be to God, that she descends having the glory of God. Now, this praise going on into eternity is the bride, the Lamb's wife. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. She is what God has set up. This is what he has made by grace alone. She is his workmanship, created only by Christ Jesus. Everything about her is him. Isn't that beautiful? Her glory is him. Her light is him. The place that she sits is his. He's established it. Everything that she is, he's made. Everything that she has become is because of him. No wonder John had such a terrible time of falling down and worshiping that bridal saint taking him around. Because they're just like Jesus. Praise God. Now, let's go on over back to 1 Chronicles 15. Let's read verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark. And notice that brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord. With shouting, with the sound of the cornet, and with the trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. I'll tell you, that was a rejoiced time, wasn't it? They're rejoicing. Now that brought up, it means literally to be taken away to be exalted. Be taken away to be exalted. Let's turn back over to Revelation chapter 3. Taken away, kept from the tribulation, to be exalted. I will make known that I have loved thee. That's the Church of Philadelphia. Taken away to be exalted. See, she's not just being taken away. She's being taken away for the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Let me tell you something. When he says glorified together with him, he really means that. He wants you to take that place with him. His place for you is not with a palm in your hand beholding the glory. His place for you by the grace of God is to be with him in the midst of the throne, with him in his glory. Praise God. That's what this is about. To share it fully with him. To be exalted to the same glory. Now let's read from Revelation 3 verse 9. And this again is the Philadelphia church. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now think of the only place that she could be standing. The only place that she could be standing. That they could come before her to bow down and worship before her feet. She's got to be on the throne with him. There is not going to be any worship or any acknowledging of worship that isn't going to have him in it. That's his place. But that's her place. Because he says, what's mine is yours. This is ours together. So here you talk about exalted. Exalted. How exalted is it that he would make known to all that he loves you? That's just glorious. See, that's what a marriage is. That's what two come together. That groom is recognizing and testifying to all. I love her. I'm in love with her. This is my wife. So, to be taken up and exalted. So there's your exalted. Let's talk about being taken up. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from the tribulation. Now we know the church of Smyrna are those saints that have this place, but they have died. They've passed before the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be there in just a second, by the way. But why not get there now? Amen. But see, I will keep thee from the tribulation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, to be taken out and exalted. Praise God. That's to be brought up. And that's exactly what we're seeing here, and that's exactly what this testimony is to us. Praise be to God. But it doesn't end there. The next encouragement there of that brought up, it means to stir up mentally. Isn't that amazing? Why do these things mean these things? Because they mean these things. And there's great meaning in these things. To know, to be brought up, to be exalted in this day, in this age, that means by the grace of God, you truly do know the bridal desire of Jesus Christ. You understand Paul's gospel. You're not just being brought up there to stand before the glory. You're being brought up there by the grace of God to be His glory. Understand that. Know it. Rejoice in it. Thank God for it. And that's all by grace and mercy. He's given you the knowledge of understanding about it. Praise be to God. Now cherish it. That's the keepsake. That's I've kept the faith. That isn't just I remembered it and I went along with it. No, I mean, it is my keepsake. It's my engagement ring. It's my wedding ring. The papers are signed. I'm just waiting. He's preparing that place. He's built all them houses and all those things. But I've got a standing place right there with Him in the midst of the throne of glory. Praise God. This ain't a stretch. This is what this is. This isn't grand imagination. This is, praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery that the Lord has in Scripture for us. Just thank Him and say, praise God. He loves us so. But to stir up mentally, that means those whose minds are focused on one thing, the out resurrection. Are we just living for that now? Praise God and thank the Lord for this day and age and all this junk going on. It's making it even easier. And it is. Praise God. Take all of the benefits to you. And that's a benefit. Praise God. But this is so beautiful. The one thing. That's all Paul wanted. To be in that out resurrection. That was it. It was one mind. It was that one thinking. And by the grace of God, praise the Lord, it's to stir up. It's to stir up mentally. It's to stir up that mind. That's why I went to Timothy. He said, Timothy, we got to stir up the gift that's in you by the laying on of my hands. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's love shed abroad. See, love shed abroad gets you to thinking about wedding day, about the marriage supper. It gets you to be thinking about these arms of the bridegroom open and by the grace of God ready to receive you. This is real. Just like those that were looking for the birth of the Savior, we're looking for the call of the bridegroom. Praise God, their Savior's grown up. Will we grow up? See how He lived and He showed us all of those things? Just the maturity of what God had called him for. How about the maturity of what God has called us for? We're a son just like him. He's the only begotten. But praise be to God, now are we the sons of God. And it's the same hope. It is, because you think of this, Jesus' encouragement always was the will of the Father. It was his will, his calling for Jesus' life. Well, you know what our calling is? It's the hope of His calling. It's the same desire. It's the same desire. We have the same Father. And He's not a respecter of person. And He loves us the same because it's the same life of Jesus Christ that lives in us. You see how it's simple, really putting it all together. And it only comes together by grace. Because it's impossible to believe this except by grace. It's impossible to receive this immensity of love and truth and what the Lord has for us to be exalted with Him forever without grace. That's why without it being pure grace, you'll never, ever fully apprehend it. You'll only go so far. You won't go so far that people don't even see you anymore. That grace just covered him up. Man, he's out there somewhere. But I'm mobbing around. I see you too out there. Hey. Hey, you know. And it's the truth. So that's what this is. And I thank God it's real. But that's the encouragement. Now, hurrying along here. We got the Ark of the Covenant. And it's the covenant of God. And yes, that ark represents, yes, Israel, we know. That covenant with Israel will be restored. Amen. It's there. It's always been there. And she will be that faithful, Israel will be the faithful wife again to God, the Father. That's His bride. Did you know that? That's His wife. Israel is God the Father's wife. He's got one. Amen. She don't know it right now. But she's going to be quickened. And he's going to be reunited with his wife. But I'll tell you what, in this mystery, there's a covenant also that's also known as a marriage covenant. Not just the covenant of the ark. See, the promises of God are yea and amen. The Lord has given us a better thing. We know that. The promises of grace and glory message is the promise of the bride of the Lamb. His glory. And here she is being caught up with him. And what's going on in verse 28? Brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet, the trumpets, the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. So praise the Lord. What we have here is euphoria. It says shouting. That word shouting means the sound of a trumpet. And then it goes on and says more trumpets. And they're blowing the cornets. I'll tell you what, they're really emphasizing trumpets here. And I'll thank God for this. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. So let's go on right on over to 1 Thessalonians and let's read the revelation of this to us. And thanks be to God, we read this often at memorial services around here because all it is more proof of what's to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading from verse 15, so think of what we just read and think of what is coming forth. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. I love how they put those two words in there. See, it's not just meaning here alive, that I'm just alive. No, there's a remaining. That's that alive part of remaining. But the alive here is speaking of that quickened life. What we just said, that mind that's quickened, that mind that's alive, that mind, praise God, that's about the one thing. This is this group that we're speaking of here. So it says, I say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain, this is speaking of the Philadelphia church, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So those right there, we're speaking of the church of Smyrna. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's your shout. And with the voice of the archangel and what? With the trump of God. There's your trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's those worthies of faith. There we see those precious Levites with the crowns on their head. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with those words. Praise God. What a comforter we have in the Holy Ghost. If we'll let it be full. I'll tell you, there's no comfort like that. Now, as we close this up, going back to 1 Chronicles. Look at chapter 16 and verse 1. It says there, so they brought the ark of God, and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. Wow, I'll tell you. Right there, we see that the glory of the Lord is set in the midst of the tent, just as the bride is the only one found in the midst of the throne. You go on over to Revelation 4, 6, you read that very sweetly in encouragement. It says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Only one place that you'll find in the midst, it's going to always be the glory of God. And that's who she is. Praise God, what grace has made her forevermore to him. Now these words, brothers and sisters, they're precise. You have to understand this. It's not something that it's, let's get close, or, you know, we can get this kind of, as they say, with a shotgun. It's a rifle shot. It's called a mark for a prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know the word of God tells that the kings search out. And you know what? The kings, they know the matter. We get excited about what our inheritance is, don't we? We come in and we thank God and we sit down and we rejoice because this is what God has chosen. He said through the foolishness of preaching, this is how we go. But I am thanking the Lord. It's foolish to man, but this is the treasure to God. We come in here, kings, and we sit and we thank him and we study. Praise God. Faith will be made sight in a moment. And don't worry about what others may say, whatever others may think, because someday all the others, they'll know. They will know. They will know. So I just leave that to God, because that will please him. And anything that pleases him by the grace of God pleases me. Now, one sweet last detail back there in 1 Chronicles. we'll close with this in the study. And I love these little teeny things. In that 15th chapter in verse 29, it says, and it came to pass, this is where every one of us understands where this comes into play with the rejoicing we have about David dancing naked before the Lord. It said in verse 29, and it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. I think how beautiful that is and how sweet. You have the king dancing before his glory. And notice it's the window. And you got to go back and kind of recall that when Isaac and Rebekah, they were traveling along, and it was, I believe, King Abimelech, wasn't it? I think that's right. He came upon that Rebekah, and she was about the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen, and he wanted her. And so, poor old Isaac, he learned from his dad, well, let's just say you're my sister. And so he took him. He took that girl and all, and he had her put with his women, but he knew that she was the most beautiful. But then he looked out the window for a moment. He saw Isaac and Rebekah together. And through that window, he saw them playing and dancing. And he knew at that moment, that's not a brother and a sister. That's a husband and a wife. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He wasn't happy about it, was he? He despised it because he knew it was going to bring him a lot of pain. And if you know that story, which is so funny, you'd think he'd go out there and kill him. He knew that God was in that. And he made Isaac so wealthy, gave him all these animals and all of these servants. He gave him everything. Let him hang around a little bit, but then God increased Isaac so much, he said, man, you got more riches than the king. You can go on your way. I love the word of God. Don't ever limit him in your life. Don't let anybody ever tell you what you're going to have in life. You got God. You got everything. just be still and watch him do it. I've watched many precious lives in the Lord increase at such an increasing rate, it'll make you marvel. But as we close this, brothers and sisters, you think of this, a little tent of only a Holy of Holies. And it's open for us today, isn't it? There's no vessels. Nope, there's no vessels. There's no veil. Because Jesus fulfilled it all. He fulfilled it all. He fulfilled it all. He took it all away. Hallelujah. All that remains is worship and praise and singing. And only the glory of God. Only grace and mercy, the blood, the glory between the cherubims. This is what God desires for us in this day. Complete intimacy, the place only for the fellowship of Christ and his bride. The tabernacle of David so typifies the church. The vessels are gone. The tabernacle is gone. Jesus has fulfilled it all. And all he desires is the true worshiper, the one who draws nigh in fervent love to kiss. It's all about the inner chamber. And brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord. We know this is the time it is. It's the time to come fully in and dwell in the inner chamber of love. And when we see these things and we know these things and we know that they are real to us, when we get to heaven, oh, I love this. We're not going to ask what to do or how to do. We're just going to enter in. As sweet brother John Hill, one of the I'm telling you, I think really the last thing he ever said to me, all starry, kooky-eyed, son, he's preparing us. We're just going to enter in. But you got to enter in now. You got to enter in now. And I'll tell you what, that tent is wide open. Enter in now. Don't hesitate. You'll be so glad that by grace you did. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.